Good morning to everyone. It is such a joyous thing to be here this morning with all of you. I missed you dearly last week, and Lord willing, we can put all that behind us and move forward. I am coming to you this morning feeling about 95% of what I should feel, but you know, 95 is really a good number. So I'm very pleased to be here and to be able to worship our God with you this morning. Psalm 19 and 1, if you look at that in your Bibles, the heavens declare the glory of God Almighty. He is the glory. And the firmament shows His handiwork. In the Psalms 31, if you look in Psalm chapter 31, the scripture will read for us, "In you, O Lord, I put my trust. Let me never be ashamed. Deliver me in your righteousness." Psalm 28 and 1, "To you I will cry, O Lord, my rock. Be not silent to me, lest if you are silent to me, I become like those who go down to the pit." In Psalm 29, and verse 1, "Give unto the Lord, O you mighty ones, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due His name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness." Give unto the Lord, and we worship our God in the beauty of holiness. How many times have probably almost every one of us heard somebody say something like, "I don't watch the news anymore because it is just simply not worth watching. It is depressing." And how often is it that we don't hear anything but negativity coming out of the mouths of people that we work with or that we have our leisure time with, and just in general in the world? And we think of that, how many people, all they talk about is so-and-so was divorced, so-and-so was killed, so-and-so, something negative, something that is ungodly, something that is meant to hurt another soul. You know, after having been sick, I came up from my bed Saturday for the first time yesterday. And Saturday, I worked on my morning lesson, this morning's lesson, and I, late in the afternoon, I turned on the television and watched just a little bit of the American Cup gymnastics competition. And one thing struck me like a 10-pound sledgehammer in the side of my head. And it was really interesting. Towards the end part of that gymnastics, when it's coming down to who's going to win, I watched an American gymnast fall from the bar. He just fell to the ground. And his name was Donnell Wittenberg. And he was to be the gold winner. All he had to do is complete this task, and he was going to be the winner of the gold. And he fell. And he fell hard. And when he did, he got up and he put himself right back on that bar and finished his task. He didn't win the gold. But you know, time after time after time throughout the rest of that event, men would fall and fall and fall. And what I did notice is that one thing that struck me is that at the end of all this, after the events are over and people have won and people have lost, they showed these gymnasts packing up their gear, and as they would go by, they would show the gymnasts, they had smiles on their faces, big grins on their faces. They weren't agitated, disgruntled, and angry or resentful, but they had smiles and grins, and they were hugging one another, shaking the hands of one another. And that caused me to think lovingly of the brethren here at Bedford, and it reminded me of the sheer joy that I've experienced time after time after time in the Lord's church, when the people of God, when the children of God, walk as children of the God. When they do things according to the way in which God has ordained it through this precious word that He's given us, and we glorify God with our actions, when we solve our problems through the Word of God by the ministry of God in our lives, and when we walk upright, the majority of the brethren treat one another with compassion and love. When those things happen, even though we fall down from time to time, even though problems arise from time to time, we treat it in a spiritual way, and it lifts up the whole congregation, and it makes us look good to the world, and we glorify God. When God's children act like God's children, the result is truly remarkable, and it's such an encouragement and so uplifting, and it's simply a joyful experience when we do it God's way. And I want you to think about it. This day, God is truly glorified by the brethren here at Bedford. And we just need to continue the trend and be strong together, love one another, have compassion on one another, and care for one another. Do you ever look at a building? I mean, seriously, there are some really beautiful buildings out there, aren't there? Magnificent buildings. And you look at that building and you think about how wonderful it is, but have you ever gone over and actually bent down and looked at the foundation? Do you ever do that? You don't look at that, do you? You walk right by and you don't even think about the foundation of that building. You just look at the building and you think how wonderful and beautifully and magnificently that was designed and made. But you know, without that wonderful foundation, that building would fall over like this one did. Looked like it was a nice building, but it just fell over. Because it didn't have a foundation deep in the earth. This building fell over because it was built upon the sand, and the rains descended and the floods came and the winds blew and they beat on that building and it fell. Probably one of the most famous buildings in the world that we all get to see all the time is the Leaning Tower of Pisa. Bad foundation. Beautiful architecture, wonderful structure, but no rock for a foundation. We are so thankful to hear the words of Jesus when He said, "Whoever hears these words of mine and does them, I will liken him unto a wise man who built his house upon the rock." And we know that's where we want our house to be built. That's where this congregation has to stand, on the words of the Lord. You know, Paul said that we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, neither height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. We are more than conquerors because by the grace of God we've learned how to bear one another's burdens. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 2. Now, Paul used the most powerful word in the English language when he uses the word must. And he says to the church, bearing one another, forgiving one another, and if anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, you must do. Colossians 3 and 13. Isn't that amazing and wonderful? We make allowance for each other's faults for bearing one another is what that scripture is telling us. And when we do this, when we accomplish this through the grace and the power of the Word of God, we're standing upon the solid rock. We're in the house that will stand forever. God's house, the church. It works because we have the Spirit of truth at our fingertips. Because we've learned to love one another with a godly love, just as commanded by our blessed Lord, who loved us first, John 13 and 34. And no matter what is said, no matter how things come about, no matter what anybody does to us, we can overcome. We are conquerors, more than conquerors. Because the relationships that we have together are formed in Jesus by His blood and by His power. Listen, we thank God that our house stands on the solid foundation, which is Christ. We're to bear one another's burdens. The Scriptures teach us that. And when brothers work together and they put aside their shortcomings and they care for one another, forgive one another, they are a source of joy, an encouragement, and a natural pride within the body of Christ. Paul wrote that to the Thessalonians. Look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verses 3 through 4. Paul in this text says, "We are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, as it is fitting that we ourselves, because of your faith, which grows exceedingly, and for the love of every one of you that abounds towards each other, so that we ourselves boast of you among the churches of God, for your patience and for your faith in all persecutions and tribulations that you endure." They come together. They endure all the hardships together, and they carry the load together. It can't be done alone. And it's wonderful and exciting to hear that the body of Christ here at Bedford does this very thing. That the children of God are acting like children of God, and God is glorified, and eventually the world might just see our foundation. They're looking for all the negative things. They're not looking for the good things. But truly, when we endure one another, when we work together with one another, bear one another's burdens, consider others greater than ourselves, truly we are standing on the solid foundation. And God, our God, He is glorified by us this very day. We're not ignorant. We know that brethren can disappoint us. It's a world that we live in. But as God's children, we must not let embitterment or these problems alienate us. Ooh, my tongue wasn't working there. We can't let them alienate us or interfere with our service to our Master. When Christians are engaged in struggles, they turn to God. Turn to God's Word. How do I handle this? What am I doing here? We turn to God. We look for the moral and doctrinal purity of the body and that we can put into the body and its members. And then we know how to overcome. Remember, we are more than conquerors in this world. And why? Because we have defeated the devil, who wishes to cause impurity in the body. We've defeated the devil, who wants to cause division when we walk as children of God and when we stand on the foundation that was built by Christ and the apostles. You know, only the devil, he's our adversary, he's the only one that wants to adversely affect the work. He wants to divide the brother, and he wants to take away the love, the appreciation that we should have and we do have for one another. And as we find ourselves in this position, then we turn to God. Paul's message to Timothy, the young preacher, it does us good as we look at this and understand what we're reading. In your hearing, we read from chapter 2, verse 14 and on. I want to bring you back here to verse 8. Look at your Bibles and see what Paul says to Timothy. Remember that Jesus Christ, the seed of David, was raised from the dead according to my gospel, for which I suffered trouble as an evildoer, even to the point of chains. But the word of God is not chained. You know, all the problems that we have in life, and every situation, every issue that comes our way, the devil is the one that chains us. The devil is the one that causes us to suffer so, when all we have to do is go to the Word of God, turn to the Lord, and the chains are taken off, and we are free, because the Word of God cannot be chained. Therefore, Paul says, I endure all things for the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain salvation, which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. This is a faithful saying. For if we died with him, we shall also live with him. If we endure, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he will deny us. And if we are faithless, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. Remind them of these things, Paul says. You know, the summary of this message, as we look at this, is pretty much don't let brethren's misbehaviors throw you. And that's what glorifies God, when we just don't let those things drag us down. We trust the Word of God, use the Word of God, be empowered by the Word of God, and it destroys all the chains of the devil. It's just a wonderful, glorious thing. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. You know, in this chapter, and I want to read this, 1 Corinthians chapter 4, we'll begin reading here in verse 1. Paul says, let a man so consider us as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required of us in stewards that one be found faithful. And look at verse 3. But with me it's a very small thing that I should be judged by you or by a human court. In fact, I do not even judge myself. You think about what Paul is saying. It's just a very small thing, he says, that I should be judged by myself, by you. I don't even judge myself. You know why? Because his eye is focused on something more important than issues and problems and turmoils and troubles. And he doesn't waste time thinking about those things. He says, for I know nothing against myself, yet I am not justified by this, but he who judges me is the Lord. He who judges me is the Lord. That's where it really comes to fruition, or to the rock against the rock, is when we're going to be facing the Lord. And we need to live the life that we live today, doing those right things that we hear about here at Bedford. We need to be continually being the light of the world. We need to continue to make the right choices. Not to allow our own feelings when we start judging ourselves and how we feel against another, but to walk in the light and to do things right. That's what glorifies God. In verse 5, Paul says, therefore judge nothing before the time. The time is the time in which the Lord will come. He is the judge. Instead of spending our days judging other people, instead of spending our days being concerned about other people, we should be concerned, and we are concerned, about ourselves and our walk with the Lord and how we present ourselves to the Master as servants. That's what glorifies God. That's what makes for a strong church. That's how people can worship together in spirit and truth and have great joy from that worship. Because we know that we're not wasting our time with the little things, that we just look to the big thing, our Lord and Master, and the day in which we'll be judged by Him, that we're prepared. And we live our lives that way. Paul goes on to say, then each one's praise will come from God. That's what we want, isn't it? You know, Paul knew how discouraging brother could be at times. We know he did. Some people had criticized him or judged him even when he least deserved it. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 through 5, it's a small thing, he said, that people would judge me. Because I don't even judge myself. You just live in the Spirit and do what the Lord has asked. And life goes on. And it is so joyous and filled with great things. Remember Paul the Apostle in 2 Corinthians chapter 7. He tells us that you know, he has all this tremendous reasons for anxiety. But he found comfort in God, and he found comfort in the brethren. Why? Because the brethren were, at that point, supportive. And God is always supportive. He tells us that at some point in time, some loved him less because he loved them more. That's what Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 15. Paul, he was very glad to spend himself for the church. He was glad to expel all his energies and even to the point of weakness for the church, for other people. And even though he did all these things and abound in love towards them, oftentimes they loved him less just for that. But he kept going because he was a child of God, and he was walking as such. Some had shocked him by turning away from the truth. Galatians chapter 1 and verse 6. He was amazed how quickly they turned away from the truth. Some had forsaken Paul with when he could have used their moral support. In 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verses 10, verse 6, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 10. Paul talks about a man named Demas who forsook him. Why? Because Demas loved this present world. Demas loved himself. Demas loved the things, and he was concerned about his own emotions, his own feelings, and he departed from Paul. It's sad. But in verse 16, Paul says, at my first defense, no one stood with me. But you know what he said? They all forsook me. But Paul says, may it not be charged against them, because he was a child of God. He wasn't bitter. He wasn't angry. He wasn't resentful. He wasn't trying to hurt them or even judge them. He just, may it not be charged against them. And that's when the church is glorified. Young Timothy is now learning how disappointing brethren can be. Paul mentions in our text two verses, verse 17 and verse 8. He mentions Hymenaeus and Philetus, who were spreading cancerous message among the brethren. And when that happens, the church needs to join together in strength and in the Word. And we need to eliminate. You know, when some were taken in by this terrible influence. Verse 18. But still, others were in danger, Paul said, of being overthrown. Paul urges Timothy to remind them of these things. Remind them of the error. And then Paul reminds Timothy in verse 19. This is the stone verse in this text. Paul says, nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands, having this seal, the Lord knows who are His, and let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. You know, it's disheartening what people do, but it's so exciting when people do things right. It's so exciting when the church comes together in unity of the Spirit. And that's what I'm excited about here today. There's four basic facts that are true in this text. The foundation of God, it still stands in verse 19 that we just read. The faith of some may be overthrown. Nevertheless, the foundation of God still stands. Brethren may have feet of clay, but the foundation of God is a solid rock. Look at Ephesians chapter 2 with me. Ephesians chapter 2 and verses 18 and 19. Or 19. Starting in verse 19. Ephesians 2, 19. Now therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and the members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building, fitly joined, fitted together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. This rock, this solid foundation for which we stand on, was built by Christ and the apostles, and the chief cornerstone is Christ Himself. That's where we stand. The gospel plan of salvation, it's still valid. The pattern for worship and organization of the church, it remains unchanged. The purpose and the mission of the church, it's not been overthrown. And the verses that teach about purity and godly, they stand even today. The promises of God are still true. And when we practice what is in the book, we are glorifying our Lord and our God. And we can thank God that our house still stands on a solid foundation. The second point that Paul makes here is that the seal of God is still unbroken. We see that in verse 19, 20. In verse 20, but in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honor and dishonor. The seal of God is that the Lord, He still knows who are His. He knows because we know that we hear Him, and He knows that we hear Him. Because we handle every issue with every question by turning to the rock, by turning to the Word. In John chapter 10, verses 27 and 28, Jesus says, "My sheep, they hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, that they should never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. He who stands or departs from iniquity, those are those who are the children of God walking in that precious light." Paul makes a third point here, that the house of God is still great. In spite of the dishonorable vessels that we read about in verse 20. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and beginning in verse 11, the Apostle Paul talks about no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Christ Jesus. He says, "Now if anyone builds on this foundation with gold and silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear." Why? Because for the day will declare it. Not this day, but the day that the Lord judges the nations. because it will be revealed by fire. And the fire will test each one's work, Paul says. If anyone's work is built and it will endure, when it's built with the precious things, with God's Word, then he will receive his reward. God's children, as we go out into the world, we're inundated with all kinds of evils in society, all around us. There's rotten attitudes everywhere. We know that. All the low-down, nastiness of our society, it can affect every single member of the church. Brethren can lie. Brethren can cheat. Brethren can steal. They can hate. They're not. The world out there doesn't have a license on those things. Outsiders, they don't have a monopoly on that. They don't have a monopoly on spiritual ignorance either. Because sometimes in the church, that becomes a problem. But when the brethren come together and rise above that by turning to the Spirit of truth, it's so different than the rest of the world. Because we are who are in God's house, we choose to do things all according to faith. God's house is still great. Why? Because of the honorable vessels, the gold and the silver. And you know, they don't stand out like the healthy organs in the body, Paul says. They actually receive very little attention. And they don't demand attention. They just do things the way they're supposed to. They handle the issues without complaining. Philippians chapter 2, verse 13 and following. It's God's will what we do. We do His will to His good pleasure. We do all things without complaining and without disputing. And we become blameless children of God. Without fault. In the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. And why? Because they live as the Spirit requires us to live. We walk according to that Spirit. We're lights according to that Spirit. We rejoice with all the saints. Why? Because we will also rejoice in the day of Christ. And that's what's so wonderful about people who live as the children of God. They are those who practice the truth and teach the truth, uphold the hands of the faithful, and they quietly suffer when when they're not loved. And who are kind and not envious, who don't seek their own glory but the interest of others. They're not easily provoked. They don't think evil. We don't rejoice in iniquity. But we rejoice in the truth. We bear all things, believe all things, hope all things, endure all things. 1 Corinthians, sound familiar? 1 Corinthians chapter 13. These are they who do not return evil with evil, but evil with good. And that's why God's house stands. Because of the brethren, we like that we have here with their faith in God and His Word. We put that Word first above all things, and all these other things, they just fall away behind us. Because God's house, it stands, and it's great. Because it's great. Our last point to consider here. When we think about this, the Apostle Paul, he tells us that salvation is of God. And it's personal. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, Paul says, he will be a vessel of honor, sanctified and useful for the Master, prepared for every good work. And when we think about that, we have to be, he says in verse 15, be diligent to show everybody approved. No, by showing yourself approved unto God. When other people are troublesome, when there's problems, impure thoughts, troubles, conflicts, God's children say, let me be concerned about my purity first. Let me be concerned about my duty. If the rest of the body is negligent, let me be concerned about my part in the work, realizing that I'm not responsible for every part. In the work of evangelism, edification, let me be busy. Let me be the one watering. Let me be the one leaving the increase up to God. Let me sow the seed of God faithfully, even if some do not. Even if some of those seeds that I sow fall on the ground. Maybe some will fall on good and honest hearts. Let this joint, me, be faithful. Let me supply my part in the task. Even if some others are disjointed, we realize that in the final analysis, it's God who judges me as an individual, as a person. You see, I can be saved even if my work, that is, the sowing of the seed, the planting of the word, the sharing of the gospel, the people who have received those things, even if my work is burned up, even if everything that I did out there, as long as I'm doing what I'm supposed to do, as long as I'm taking care of me spiritually and my relationship with the Lord, and I'm doing the things He's asked me to do, no matter what happens to my work, I'll be saved. You know, think of the church in Sardis. There were a few who had not defiled their garments. And in the end, they'll walk in those white robes with the Lord. And that's what we want. That's what we want. You know, granted, there are a lot of things among brethren that aren't always right. And there's always corrective work to be done in the body. And there's always a lot of things out there that could cause discouragement if we let it. But if we're like Paul and we don't worry about the little things, we can be faithful. We can continue remembering that the Lord Himself was faithful. When all forsook Paul. We read that in 2 Timothy. He says that at my first offense, everybody forsook me. But you know what he said in verse 17? 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 17. He said, but the Lord stood with me. That's where the real joy of the Spirit comes from. That's where the real peace that surpasses all understanding, that's where the love comes from. You see, we are born again of the blood of Christ. And that Lord will stand with me. Just like we read in the morning lesson, that if you keep my commandments, my statutes, the Lord will always be with you. And when we do things His way as the children of God, we glorify the church, we glorify the Lord, and the Lord stands with me. His foundation is the solid rock. His seal upon us is unbroken. His house is still great. His salvation is still available, even if the whole world rejects Him. If everyone that we know rejects us. Because we here at the Church of Christ in Bedford, we're practicing forgiveness. We practice comforting one another. We're not going to be swallowed up by too much sorrow, because we're already consumed by too much love. And we praise God that we stand in the house that stands on that solid foundation. Are you standing on that foundation today? Have you given yourself over to the Lord in obedience to the faith that you heard, that you understand? You can't be partakers of that great joy and that comfort in the knowledge that on the day in which the Lord judges the world, that you'll be with Him for eternity. Because we know as children of the light, we walk in the light just as He is in the light. And when we do that, we're going to be justified by His blood. Jesus gives an invitation to every soul this very day to come and give yourself to Him in baptism, to wash away your sins, to be added to the body of Christ, and to be called a saint of God. To surrender yourself over to Him and to His will. All to Jesus, I surrender. And you're not giving up that much. You're giving away temporary things. You may be giving away anything in this world. But what you're gaining is eternal. You're gaining eternal life in heaven, rather than eternal separation from God in hell. It's your choice. And if you're a Christian and you erred from the truth, then we know we must turn back. Continue to walk in that light. If we've sinned against others, we need to confess that sin. If we've been unrighteous in our ways, then we need to turn, confess that, and become righteous again by the blood of Christ and by the will of God, who's willing to forgive us all if we just come to Him. If you have need this day, the church is here to help you in any way, shape, or form. As you can come forward and sit in one of the front pews as we stand and sing the song, I Surrender All.